Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, as always, good, bad, crazy martinis. But you know, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel for a good martini when your good news is something that didn't happen. I guess we could use that as our default every day. But today's specific thing that didn't happen is President Obama not renewing his office for the purpose of closing Guantanamo Bay. You may remember that I believe it was the day after his first inauguration that he signed the executive order, supposedly leading to the closure of Gitmo within a year. Turns out a lot of different things led to that not happening. And now the administration is basically saying, without saying it, yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon, even though it's still their stated policy position. So there's a lot of people happy about this because nobody wants those people on American soil, and a lot of other reasons to keep a place like Gitmo open, despite the fact that it was controversial. So as far as Obama administration directives in the early part of the second administration, this looks pretty good.
Gitmo is not closing. The office that was in charge of closing Gitmo is closing.
Right.
So as I summarized this in the Jolt, Greg, this is the end of an era of ending the preceding era. Gitmo is here to stay for the foreseeable future. No one has come up with a better alternative. The legal hurdles are fairly significant. Nobody wants these guys on their home soil. Congress remains resolutely opposed. And this was something that was never really, I mean, the issue was not merely, you know, Obama could have done this back when the Democrats controlled Congress back from 2009, 2010, and they chose not to do this when the momentum was at its strongest because deep down Democrats didn't really want to do this. I guess they thought it risked control of the House, and look where it got them, you know. When you think of Obamacare and the stimulus bill and everything else. Basically, something that was considered a moral imperative all throughout 2007, 2008, and, you know, a stain on our national conscience and all these, you know, and all of a sudden here we are 4 years later, Gitmo's still open, and you don't hear as much about it. The dream of closing Gitmo, once a huge priority for the folks on the left, has stopped being that. You didn't hear too much about it in the 2012 campaign. And now it's all but official that Gitmo's going to be around because if Obama couldn't get it closed, it's not going to get closed. And, you know, probably when all of the guys who are currently detained there die of old age, then maybe it will end and it'll be closed down for those purposes. And, you know, because that's the only way we're going to have this resolved. There's no place to put these guys. I always like the idea of closing Gitmo and moving them to, say, Diego Garcia, a tiny island in the Indian Ocean that's even further away from America and the rest of civilization. So if you don't like one military facility, we can always move them to another military facility very far from the continental U.S. or the 50 U.S. states. So that's our good news. It's not merely the fact that Gitmo remains open, but the utter collapse of what was once considered a moral imperative of President Obama and the folks on the left.
On to martini number two now. And Jim, I have a feeling immigration may spend some quality time in the second martini over the next few weeks and months. But yesterday we were talking about how the eight senators, four from each party, were about to unveil their legislation. Yesterday they did. Some people think that this has a better chance of getting through Congress. I think they unfortunately may be right, especially given the fact that they were able to get Marco Rubio into this coalition. But there's a lot of things that still have people very concerned about this. Number one is this comment from Chuck Schumer that has a lot of people grating today.
On day one of our bill, the people here without status who are not criminals or security risks will be able to live and work here legally. That'll make it easier for them to learn English and integrate into their communities without fear of deportation.
Well, Jim, that doesn't necessarily sound like it's contingent on enhanced border security, even though John McCain and others say that. So also, we just found out from a report through Breitbart that the president in his speech in Nevada today is expected to call for the pathway to citizenship to start before the border security is in place. So that'll make a lot of people happy. As if that weren't enough, I think there's a lot of folks on the right who think that passing comprehensive immigration reform is somehow going to make Hispanics love Republicans. I think that's a bit naive, and it's kind of insulting to them to think that, well, if we just give you this one thing, well, then everything's bygones are going to be bygones. And I just don't think it's that simple.
Yeah, I'm going to quote a podcast, somebody who writes one of the second or third best podcasts out there. Really, not quite as good as the Three Martini Lunch. A guy by the name of Jimmy Byers, who just said on Twitter not long ago, in Congress, comprehensive usually means too big to be read or fully understood and full of all manner of shenanigans. And that seems like a fairly good summary of these things. Marco Rubio has been hitting the TV site, the TV channels, trying to make the sales pitch for this. And I don't doubt that this represents genuinely his best effort, and he has the very best of intentions, and he wants to do well by the country and for the causes he believes in. The big problem, you kind of alluded to that comment from Schumer. The first thing is that if you, like, says on day one of this bill, if you're not a criminal and you're not some sort of security threat, well, now you can live and work in this country freely. And they insist that's not amnesty. Well, yeah, eventually there are penalties down the road if you attempt to get into the road to becoming a U.S. citizen. You know, you'd have to allegedly you'd have to pay fines and taxes. They don't say how big those fines and taxes are. Because if you can't pay them, then we deport you. Do you work on a payment plan that you garnish some of your wages? Like, I don't understand how these people who are, by and large, greatly impoverished are going to somehow pay these back taxes and fees they're supposed to pay. Secondly, of the 11 million illegal immigrants in this country, I know some of them are the very finest valedictorians who really want to become Americans and represent, you know, good folks. And some of them are gang members and drug dealers and the very worst. Of those folks who are somewhere in the middle, how many of them really want to become U.S. citizens? How many of them just want to work here, send money back to their families in Mexico or Central America or Asia or wherever they are? And how many aren't interested in the process of becoming full-fledged Americans? Greg, I'll be honest. I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows how that breaks down in there. But if that is a large chunk of them, let's say 5 million of them, they're going to come out of the shadows. They'll do the fingerprinting. They'll do all that stuff. And then they'll never pay the punishment part because they'll never want any to go through the citizenship. They'll never want to apply for the green card. All they really want is the work visa and to live without being in fear of being arrested. Democrats don't like that part because they really want these people on the full road to citizenship so they can start casting ballots because they're going to end up being Democrats. And so what Obama's supposedly going to say today is that he doesn't like this plan. He wants these people to become citizens as quickly as possible and with as few hurdles as possible. The one other complication that I'm sure will be a recurring point between you and I as we look at this debate in the coming days and weeks, when the government says it's going to do something, there are a whole bunch of folks who are just skeptical the government's going to do it. You know, for 17 years, as Mark Krikorian pointed out, the government's supposed to have the system to track people who overstay their legal visas, their legal permit to stay in the country, and they haven't set that up yet. So in the end, it comes down to a fundamental failure of government to be able to do its duties. And I don't think necessarily passing a new law or a new set of rules is going to really change all that much, which is why there's, you know, such consternation and anger and I'd say bad faith arguments floating around about this legislation.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. It's also interesting how I think Obama is triangulating this, not in the old Clinton model of being in the middle, but actually providing the far left leg of the triangle. Yes. and then glumly agreeing to this bill that he probably really, really likes after staking out a claim on the far left. I think it's brilliant politics, but don't think for a second that he's offended by what was introduced yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, what a lot of folks on the right are wary about, deservedly so, is that it'll pass it. And then, you know, the day after it passes, besides all those people no longer being at risk of being deported, the pressure will begin to start changing the deal again. And they'll just end up, you know, we agree, we make a compromise first, and then we end up compromising later 2 years down the road or 4 years down the road or, you know, again and again until the left gets everything it wants.
And, of course, it doesn't exactly send a warning shot to those thinking of coming to the country illegally if all those provisions are in place either. So the problem doesn't
change.
Don't
you love to set up a water stand somewhere on the border right now for the crowds that are probably coming over, all the folks who want to get grandfathered into this new deal?
Yeah, would sound pretty good if I was in that position. All right, on to martini number three now. Another hat tip to Breitbart. And this was a video, I guess, from a couple of days ago. Jason Matera, who frequently videotapes his confrontations with folks more on the left than the right. This time it's New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and here's their initial encounter.
Mayor Bloomberg, how you doing? Jason, I grew up in Brooklyn.
Okay,
in the spirit of gun control, will you disarm your entire security team?
You will get right back to you.
You'll get back to me? Would you like a sip of my soda? Mayor Bloomberg, why can you defend yourself but not the majority of Americans? I mean, look at the team of security you got. And you're an advocate for gun control?
And then later in the video, a New York police officer comes and confronts Mr. Matera, asking for identification, his press pass into the conference he had been at. And so, Jim, if you look at this, obviously some heavy-handed tactics, especially if you watch the video by the Bloomberg security team, although I don't think most people would probably suggest that Bloomberg give up the security.
Yeah, well, Matera weighs what, 90 pounds? I mean, he's no real threat to anybody. But I suppose they have to treat everyone as a potential threat. I'll be honest. I mean, I think there's a, you know, the argument being put forth by Matera is clearly designed to put a spotlight on what he perceives as hypocrisy. The idea being that if you support gun restrictions for ordinary citizens, then lawmakers should not have armed security details. And I guess I can go along with that, but let's observe that, like, lawmakers do live under, you know, perhaps a slightly greater threat than the average American. We've seen plenty of assassination attempts in the course of U.S. history, and the chances of some nut job wanting to harm the mayor of New York City or some other government official is not, you know, this is not an entirely hypothetical or theoretical threat. I'm sure probably Mayor Bloomberg probably gets lots of threats all the time. And so I have a hard time begrudging a security detail of treating somebody as a potential threat. Having said that, there's no doubt that there's some extremely heavy-handed tactics in this. And, you know, if there's any public figure has it coming, it might be Bloomberg. I would just say that if you want to spotlight the Napoleonic complex and dictatorial urges of Bloomberg, I would point out to his recent restriction on painkillers in New York City emergency rooms. He is particularly concerned about theft and about people becoming addicted to painkillers. By fiat, you know, his city offices are going to limit the amount of painkillers they can be used. And at some point he said something like, well, maybe you'll have to deal with a little bit of extra pain to prevent the, you know, terrible scourge of people stealing emergency room drugs. This is a dictator. This is out of control. And he's literally recommending the result of my policies will be pain for people in emergency rooms. OK, this is right up there with the Kremlin cracking down on international adoptions and stuff like that. So a completely worthy target in Bloomberg. I do think Matera's tactics and his particular line of argument are not quite what I would gripe. Having said that, nobody deserves to be chased by the cops for asking a couple of questions of a lawmaker.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And potentially good news, people of New York City. Bloomberg's term is up at the end of this year. I'm assuming he's not going to run again. The bad news is you'll probably get someone who's just as bad given the politics of the city. But at least you'll be done with him in a few months. Jim, on that thrilling note, we'll leave it there for today. And we'll probably have some reaction to what the president has to say out in Nevada today. And all sorts of other wonderful news on the Wednesday edition. See you tomorrow.
Safe bet, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.